Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
Have a very nice day at work.
Alice at
97.3. Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Get ready. For Tay in the UK. Just when you think you're like, oh, what else could happen with Taylor Swift? Well, how about she's performing in London and we want to send you there. It's so easy to win this contest. All you have to do is the thing you were already going to do. Listen to Alice at 97.3. Get the free Odyssey app. Download it at the Google Play or the Apple Store. And you listen to Alice at 97.3 on the free Odyssey app for a minimum of 60 minutes a day. And that's a daily entry. For a chance to win a trip for four to travel to London to see Taylor Swift August 17th, four-night hotel stay, round-trip airfare. Everything that you need to know about Tay in the UK is available now at RadioAlice.com. But the bottom line is you got to get that Odyssey app. It's free. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey. Odyssey. Get that. Listen to us on there. It's a push for it, man. We want that. We want you to listen to us on the Odyssey app. Please and thank you. Of course, we're just happy if you listen. It means a lot to us. We were the first station to ever play Benson Boone. And now we have a big show coming up for him. And it's which is completely sold out. And we have put up a billboard as you approach the Bay Bridge heading westbound towards the city of San Francisco. In your get to the metering lights on the end of the Bay Bridge, if you look around, because we've got a big billboard up there, super cool. The artwork is really cool. Benson Boone, Beautiful Things, one of the biggest songs in the world, and we were the first station to play him. So he's at the Masonic next month. That is completely sold out, and this billboard is going to be up by the Bay Bridge all next week. So
we don't want to brag, but
right, exactly. And we would love it if you take a picture of it and post it on your social, and you can tag us in that, Alice at 973, or any of our individual handles. It's just fun. It's just, we're super excited about it, and it's very cute. It says Alice at 973 plus Benson Boone equals Beautiful Things. Get it? It's adorable. And a lot of hard work went into getting that up there, so thanks to
And we
Janie.
Were first.
And oh, yes, and we were first. Keep on
polishing
those nails.
I'm shining my nails. You know, we were first.
So I looked at this morning, and I just love it. Because it is true that when you are in a great book, and I don't know if it's just a girl thing, the whole romance. But I love in a book. There's something about it. And in fact, to the point where I'm like, you know what I really need? I need these two to bang. So I'm going to go find some erotica to watch or listen to.
Wow.
And read. Because it's just, I love it. So these are the top three boyfriends and girlfriends from books. They went and did a survey. They're like, you know, in all the books you've read, who's the best? Because people get really invested in books. And it actually can, you know, you can have that, like, book hangover where you're like, I'll never find love like that again. So 2,000 readers were surveyed. And I will say specifically, these are people who are reading books that are about love. Like, these are love books. Even though they're vampire books and they're sex books.
Okay, so I've never read any of these books. Okay, got it. Right.
So the top three boyfriends are Noah Calhoun from The Notebook. He's number, you know, there's only three, so I'm counting from the top. But the thing about Noah is, you know, they had their one night together, and then they depart each other, and he writes to her every day. And her mom doesn't ever give her the link. She thinks he just... he writes to her every day for a year. She thinks he never wrote, and he thinks she doesn't care. And best boyfriend ever. So good. Like, I guess it makes me tear up just...
It wasn't over for me. I waited for you for 7 years. Now it's too late.
I wrote you 365 letters. I wrote you every day for a year.
You wrote me?
Yes. It wasn't over. Still isn't over.
Still isn't over.
It ain't never gonna be
over. You know, we made it line up.
Oh, really? He doesn't say it ain't never going to be over?
It's still ain't over is what he says, basically.
And that's when they grab each other and start making out in the rain. That scene.
Still isn't over.
And then he...
Oh, my gosh.
Making out on the... Are they on a dock? I picture them on a dock in the rainstorm.
Definitely in the rain.
God, so good. The Notebook. Oh, that movie. That movie will kill you. And don't watch it with stupid boys because they just ruin everything. Oh, laughing at it, making fun of it. Oh, God, Noah. Ryan, that's why I fell in love with Ryan Gosling. I don't even care that much about him or Rachel McGann. I don't care about them, but then I see them in that. I'm like, oh, my God. True chemistry. It's beautiful. And then it goes through their whole life. It's so lovely. So there you go. That's the Notebook guy. Number two on this is Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey. He's, by the way, he's, you know, he's into, like, pain sex. But for her, he's into that kind of stuff. You know,
pain?
Submission and stuff. Pain. Oh. Like, pain, submission, you know. you gotta kneel here on this mat and just wait for me to be ready for you in the red room. But he falls in love with Anastasia Steele, I think her name is. And he decides, I can go vanilla for her. So he changes everything for her, but then also tricks her into... Not tricks her. It's consensual.
Has anyone tried to get you to do that before? Like, kneel here and I'll be back. Anybody ever waiting for me like that. I think they'd go, I'm out of here.
I do think that there are definitely people who that's their kink and they know how it all works. Like, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I guess I have to do. Like, I'm not doing that. But there are people who want pain. There are people who want to be... submissive or dominated,
right.
You know, whatever the thing is. I guess, Vinny, that's it's real. I mean, it's definitely like a thing, but yeah, I've never wanted that. But Christian Grey did, but he didn't give it up because that just didn't happen.
Maybe
but.
You have a talent at sniffing out people who are into that, and that way you aren't trying to get someone who's like, I'm here for regular old stuff.
Yeah, I just want to hook up.
I'm not going to kneel on any stairs anytime for any amount of time. Goodbye. Like,
I wonder, well, nowadays it's easy, right? Like, that seems like something I'm into. I'm going to just put an ad on the internet for it.
Right.
Get the people who are interested. But in the olden days, you know, when you had to kind of work through life and you couldn't just tell people online, because there wasn't online, so you couldn't say what you were into. You almost had to, like, groom someone up. You had to know that about yourself, right?
My roommate used to do it in the local reader
ads.
Newspaper.
Yeah. Man-seeking man, man-seeking woman,
mm-hmm.
Et cetera, for whatever. And like, lay it out, and someone goes, oh, that sounds interesting. I would love to be tied to some rando's bed and have terrible things happen to me. And there are people who are like, yeah, that's how I live dangerously. So anyway, Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey, he had about 28%.
He beats out the guy from The Notebook.
No,
shocking.
No. Noah was number one. Number one, The Notebook.
Oh, you're going
number
my
one,
way. You didn't go
all
the way.
I did.
Okay, got
it. But it was only three because, so all I was right. Like, you know, and all three of them are good, I think. I read all these books, so I definitely... Oh, actually, that's not true. I didn't read The Notebook. I only saw the movie. But I read all the Christian Grey books, all the 50 Shades of Grey books. So Noah from The Notebook, played by Ryan Gosling on your TV screen, 33%. Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey, 28%. Can you take a wild guess at who came in third?
Herman Munster. Oh, wait, that's not a book.
You're closer than you think, though.
What?
He is a monster.
Oh, it's the guy. It's Edwin Cullen.
What's his name again?
Edwin Cullen.
The evil genius.
Yeah, it's Edward Cullen from Twilight. 21%.
Like I wasn't close.
No, you were. I'm very surprised by it. You know, he was a great boyfriend because he wanted to eat her really bad. Like, she was his version of heroin. Like, the smell of her was just drove this guy off the deep end. And he didn't eat her. So, you know, great news. She lived-ish. But it's, you know, spoiler alert. There's a bunch of those books. They're so good. I love those books. I get it. I am easy to please. That's
so she wasn't into that, is what you're saying, and that's why he laid off. Is that it?
Yeah, maybe you misunderstand. But yeah, she's not into dying. That was true. Right. He didn't want to make her into a vampire, and he didn't think he could control himself. He thought because he was so into her that if he took one little sip, then how would he ever stop himself? He'd just kill her. It's such a great story. It's really great.
I don't get it. Okay.
The top girlfriends are, and I'm going to go again from number one, Anastasia Steele from 50 Shades of Grey. Now, listen, if you just saw the movies, I didn't see the movies on this, and I didn't think the casting was awesome. It just wasn't who I pictured at all, so I didn't ever bother. But Anastasia, like, she's a pretty good girlfriend, I guess. I don't know. They constantly would, like, misunderstand each other. Maybe, like, a fight. Whatever. But, they gave her the first place on this. This is a survey of, I guess, romance readers. They're the top three boyfriends and girlfriends from books or series of books. So Anastasia Steele from 50 Shades of Grey, she wins it with 27%. Bella Swan from Twilight, you know? Boy, she was, when he decided to leave her for her own good, she was broken. She was just broken. She a shadow
of
her former
self. Kristen Stewart, right?
In the movies, it's Kristen Stewart. Bella Swan is the name, yeah.
All right.
From the books. And then Juliet from Romeo and Juliet. Like, all of a sudden, old school Juliet. Yeah, we're going to have a suicide pact. Yay. 25% went Juliet. I don't know if that's a good girlfriend or not. The whole thing just... Anyway, I really liked it. You know, just fun. Reminds me of all these books I really love. I love books.
You know, in real life, the people I've known that have that over-the-top, ridiculous movie love, you know, that one, that all-consuming...
Megan Fox, MGK,
the
Twin
crazy,
Flames.
Yeah. They end up broken up, by the way, just so you know.
What?
In my experience, I could be wrong. Maybe those things can stay that hot, that forever. But in my experience, those things... burn hot and burn out.
Yeah, yep, that's right. They consume all the fuel available, and then they're just standing there all cold together. Like, ugh, not to you. It's too bad that you can't keep that alive, you know? It's people get sick of doing each other.
Well, it's just not real life. Like, you can be all in and fully in love.
Yep.
But it's not that, like...
white
hot. Well, we've both quit our jobs, and now we just stay in this little bubble of our own making, and we're never leaving it until the landlord shows up and throws you out because you haven't paid your rent. And now
we do it in the street because we still can't get enough of each other. We found a dumpster to hump behind.
Now
a humpster.
We're broken, worried about what to eat. I'm starving.
Yeah, but you look good. You're so skinny.
It's too bad we posted all those photos of us. You know, now everybody thinks we're in love, and... you know, whoops, white, hot.
Well, that's it is really hard to walk that back. That's why people try to save those marriages. You know, like the whole Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. Like it's they don't live together anymore, but they have still not come out and said we're done because they don't want to face the The ear, told you so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. They're adorable.
They?
I just, well, yeah. Even as they were saying that stuff, whenever it was, exactly 2 years ago or whatever. Maybe it was even longer. Maybe they had to force it to burn for a while longer. I just thought anybody who says that is doomed. If you say that, you're doomed. You're just asking for it. Your twin, one of those flames is going to burn out. Now you just got one flame going.
You both just got divorced.
I know. A very weird story. I'll be interested to hear your thoughts. It's just a weird story. I don't know. I just think it's one of those stories. I haven't heard this, and it's sort of interesting and weird. During a 30th anniversary screening of Pulp Fiction last week, the classic movie, the Quentin Tarantino, it's like, well, he had done Reservoir Dogs before it, like, really, which is a great movie. Pulp Fiction was just like, oh my God. I remember just thinking, this is incredible.
Well, and for a while there were a lot of copycats because just the way it was shot and edited was different, unique, and hard to follow a little bit until you sort of started getting, you know, there's sometimes you're watching a movie and you're like, wait, what's going on? And you have to trust that the storyteller will eventually let you know.
Right. Yes.
You have to be able to sort of sit there and go, all right, I don't know where we are in the story yet.
I'll just relax.
And let it all fall to pieces. And that's, a lot of people went, oh, that's a new way to tell a story. I'll do it that way.
Kind of backwards, but also not.
Right.
And like that scene is at the end. It's, oh my God. Yeah, really just great, really different storytelling. And John Travolta was talking about how he got the role of Vincent Vega. This is during his 30th anniversary screening. It's hard to believe it's been 30 years. Tarantino was a fan of John Travolta's and was considering him for the role. And so he reached out to John's agent and arranged a meeting. So John goes to Quentin's apartment and he goes, I used to live here. This used to be my apartment. That's weird.
What?
Yeah. So Quentin, and I don't know if Quentin like said, oh, John Travolta lived here. This must be mine. Or if they discuss it, that's not even the weirdest part of this. He goes into the apartment and he's all, okay, I used to live here.
Weird.
Moving on to the next weird part. They spent almost 24, it was like a date where no one wants to go home. They spent almost 24 hours together. The first thing they did was play John Travolta board games. Seriously, Tarantino had the board game versions, which, tell me if you knew any of these were board games. Saturday Night Fever, Welcome Back Kotter, and Grease. They all had board games.
No, I did not know that, but I was around at that time, and Travolta was one of the biggest stars. And the interesting part, if you're listening to this now, this story of how I got cast in Pulp Fiction is that Travolta was gone, long gone. Hadn't been cast in anything, and this casting put him back on the map for at least a 10, if not 15, movie run after Pulp Fiction.
Yes. He definitely won the lottery by being cast in Pulp Fiction. It was absolutely a comeback. No one had seen him in years.
Right, but at that time, yes, I was a fan of the Sweat Hogs. I definitely watched Grease. And what was Saturday Night Fever was, it was not only a big movie, that music was huge at the time as well. So
then he became middle-aged and suddenly no one was casting him in anything.
Right. Right.
You know, but the fact is they those were so popular that they had board games. And for some reason, Quentin Tarantino, this is the thing about Quentin Tarantino. Like, he probably has a warehouse somewhere. He's like, oh, well, I got to have that. You know, the board game for Saturday Night Fever, I'm out here trolling. Like, I go to yard sales trying to find this stuff. Like, he's that guy. You know,
he's a fan. He's a fan of cinema. Know that if you followed or heard him speak, he can really annoy me most times. But in general, you can tell he's a huge fan of cinema. And that's how
all different types of it. And he actually pays homage in all his films to this kind of stuff. So during each game, Quentin wanted John to randomly throw out lines that his character would have said. Like, I want you to ad lib a little bit. Like, we're playing the Saturday Night Fever thing. Throw some lines out that your character would have said. It's like this weird 24-hour long audition. After they are done playing the games, Travolta helps Tarantino with his finances. They say here, at the time, Tarantino was a lot younger. He was kind of a struggling artist. So John Travolta decides to help Tarantino with his finances. They sit down and go through all of Tarantino's stuff, and he tries to put Quentin Tarantino on the right path.
Oh, nice.
To, you know, financial security or something.
Most people could use that.
Sure.
And I could use that. That's great.
Right. A week later, Quentin calls up Travolta and says, the part is yours. And the reason why is he tells John, it was you helping me with my finances. You had this analytical, theoretical, philosophical viewpoint that I needed for that character. That was the thing that put it over the top. Not all the come up with lines your character would say as we play this board game in the 24
all right,
hours.
Spent well,
it was going over his finances with him.
I'll tell you something that I find interesting about all that. The details aren't the point. The point is that Travolta didn't say, I'm too big a star for this BS. I'm out of here.
Right. Well, because he wasn't at the time.
Well, but I mean, I'm just saying, so I mean, you know how people are can be in their heads. They
yes.
doesn't matter if he's
what am I doing here?
Not getting cast in, you know, for the last 10 years. He's still John Travolta the whole damn time.
It wasn't like people had forgotten about him. We just
right.
hadn't seen him in anything in a
mm-hmm.
while. In apparently the hotel from The Shining is not in Colorado. It's in Oregon.
I didn't know that.
I
thought it was Colorado.
Me too. Well, in the book, it is in Colorado. So we're talking about the classic Stephen King movie, The Shining, that, you know, Jack Nicholson, here's Johnny with the axe and the, trying to kill the lady in the bathroom. It's called the Timberline Lodge, and it caught on fire. It's not burned down or anything. But the roof and attic of, they say, Oregon's Timberline Lodge, which was used to as a stand-in for the Overlook Hotel in the 1980 film of The Shining, Stanley Kubrick. It caught fire. It was brought under control before it spread to the rest of the building. But apparently it was, you know, there's a lot of pictures of them, you know, lots of equipment and emergency services and shooting the water up onto the top of the house. I just thought the biggest takeaway for me, I hate to say it, is that's in Oregon? Huh. I wouldn't have thought it.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that there were maybe like the opening scene of the movie. Maybe it's not the opening, but it's this. He's driving to this hotel. And the drive is forever. And it's all, it's the scene of this car driving this seemingly
road,
like into
yes.
the middle of nowhere, right? So I don't doubt that that was in Chicago, or, you know, Colorado, but then the hotel was somewhere else. And then maybe even the outside scenes with the shrubs was somewhere else entirely. Who knows? They can piece that together and. We're none the wiser.
Where, do you know where Clackamas is? Clackamas? Clackamas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah? Where, that's apparently...
It's a name I know from...
Would there be snow there, or is it more coastal?
Let me see.
Because I'm looking at pictures of it from the movie, and this big hotel, this Timberline, it's just drifted with snow. It's like buried.
It looks
sure...
like it's near Mount Hood. So yes,
oh, okay.
It would be, there would be snow for sure.
So maybe they could have gotten some shots and then maybe banked up their own snow on it or whatever. Or maybe through the magic of movie making, they made it look like it was covered in snow. But anyway, turns out that's in Oregon. Hmm.
Oregon's really nice. You guys would like it.
No, you've said nothing but good stuff about it. You really... Mm-hmm. You lived in Eugene for several years.
I enjoyed my time there very much, yes.
How long were you there?
4 years.
Nice. You know, there's a talk show called The Talk. And
yes.
It was started by Sarah Gilbert. And it was, I think the original run was like Julie Chen, Sarah Gilbert, and another cast of characters. But it's like The View. It's like a
Wasn't Ozzy's wife on that?
She was very, yeah. She left after some, I don't know, she backed up Piers Morgan with some stuff that he had said that wasn't going on. I can't remember all the reasons why. Everyone's canceled for every reason. Anyway, the talk is ending, and they're actually going to do an abbreviated 15th season on CBS. It's ending. It looks like it's bowing out in December, and that's going to be the end of that.
All right.
I'm looking at the current lineup.
Is it recognizable? Is any original still there?
Well, you know, Jerry O'Connell's been on the show for a while. I remember here. I don't watch it.
He is.
Remember this? Yeah, he's been on there. Let's see. Akbar Bajabimilia, Amanda Klutz, Natalie Morales, Jerry O'Connell, and Cheryl Underwood. And they're saying it's ending. It's too bad. Sorry about it. 15 right. years. Oh, there's that. All right, Vincent, what's coming up in the news?
Oh, fudge. You got me typing in the talk original host to see who the new, if there's anybody, and it doesn't matter. Okay. Let me get to restaurant etiquette and more after these.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right.
Hello.
Listen, think about this.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
I love it.
Alice at 97.3.
That's hot. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Follow the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. You find all the info on videos and stories we've reported during the show. Boom. The Radio Alice.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Fremont Bank is a true gem in the Bay Area. This premier community bank is opening a new flagship branch in Fremont and celebrating its diamond anniversary of 60 years as an independent family-owned bank. Fremont Bank proves when you put people first, our whole community thrives. Visit one of its 20-plus Bay Area locations or go to FremontBank.com to learn more today. All right. Here's what's happening. Partly cloudy today. Mid-60s to high 70s, depending on where you're at.
A nice one. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Today is Earth Day. More on that in a bit. Also, it's Passover. Sarah already told us the graphic version of what that means, and we'll.
It was pretty horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
I just wanted to mention this since I did the research. The Talk, the show that is now about to end, premiered in 2010 with its original hosts, Sarah Gilbert, Holly Robinson Pete, Leah Remini, Julie Chen, and Sharon Osbourne.
Oh, she was an OG.
She was an OG.
I did not know that.
Later, there were hosts added as people left. Cheryl Underwood, Carrie Ann Inaba, Eve, the singer, was also one of the hosts on the show. Then, one of the hosts that came in, if you remember, was Amanda Klutz. Do you know what you remember her from?
You know, as soon as I read her name, she's still on, apparently. As soon as
her husband passed away from COVID, he was a dancer and an actor.
That's right.
Oh.
He was like one of the first people to die from it. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He like went to New York to pick something up and caught it there. And mm-hmm. like first he lost both his legs or something. Mm-hmm. And then he, oh my God, Vinny. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. Stories like that were the ones that freaked us all the F out.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, and there were a lot of stories like that, too. I mean, they right. kind of went untold because most of us were like, you know.
Heard enough of that
horror
story.
Trying to just deal with each day, right? Trying to get through it all. But anyway. Okay, so there's that. Now, back to San Francisco canceled the 420 party. And guess what happened? There was a 420 party anyway. Yeah. And the party people partied without the city's blessing.
Oh, my goodness. Did they leave their trash everywhere?
I don't know how it looked afterward, but I know that they were there at 420 on 420, and they all lit up.
You can't stop the 420 party. I don't know what they were thinking.
You know, I don't even know why we've... Just let the people party and, you know, I guess put trash out at least so they can...
Sure.
But many people said it's better without all the vendors.
Like it's people just a who big went, gathering.
It's
right.
a better gathering without it being official. So maybe they enjoyed it more.
It does get that kind of commercialized festival feeling when that, you know, when they sort of take over a thing that sprung up because people just wanted to smoke weed at 420 on 420. And now they're like, well, we'll build a festival around it. We'll make all kinds of money.
And charge you for admission.
Yeah,
all right,
there
you
all go. Stuff.
Yeah, come on in to the free park. $15, please.
Yeah.
What? All right, I'm going to go around the back, and I'll meet you guys there when $15.
I just wanted to smoke a doobie.
Right.
I already paid for that.
And so it is Earth Day.
All right.
I hope you take a second. And if you don't, okay. You don't have
you
to get all upset about
right.
it. Yeah, you do you. I'm a big fan of our planet. I'm a big fan of nature. I love surfing, and it's something where I'm fully part of this ecosystem and in it and living it and enjoying it. And it's where I get my soul gets, you know, re-energized. And
your juice.
It's a lot for me. I love it. We love the earth. It is our planet.
Oh, is that a little Vicky song?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a huge hit.
How environmentally conscious would you say you are? For some people, it depends. They'd give themselves an 8 when they're combing through the trash, separating out bottles and cans, and a 2 at most other times. You know. Because there are a lot of things, even things that are part of our traditions where you're like, wow, we're using a bunch of paper to wrap up presents, or we're using, you know, or wow, we're using plastic forks at our outdoor barbecue, and heesh. So there's a lot of different, you know, moments where you would find yourself going, I'm not, and other times when you go, yeah, I totally care.
And it's, to me, I always think about the people who are like so righteous about it. Like I had a guest at my house one time, and they really laid into me for not having a little compost bin on top of my counter. And this was before it was mandatory and all that stuff. And they're just kind of laying into me. And I thought to myself, there's something at your house too. I thought A, super rude. Don't do that. Give people crap in their own house. And B, you're definitely doing. You're on a private jet or something. You like
it's always
that's,
something.
There's always something.
You
like,
got to be careful.
No one
you
is
go
above
around.
It. Exactly. Yeah.
You definitely and people do this exactly. People do this too. Like Leo DiCaprio says he's a big fan, and then people turn right around and point at his private jet use
and his yacht. It's, right.
There's always the way. So yes, you do need to be careful when you pop off. Anyway. The people in New Mexico rated themselves the most eco-friendly or rated themselves the highest of any place.
New Mexico.
Yep. Residents from California rated themselves second most environmentally conscious, followed by Oregon, Delaware, Massachusetts, Vermont. Anyway, on and on. People of South Carolina admitted to being the worst with an average of 3.9. Oh. These numbers are just on a scale, and
right.
they were the lowest. So there's
but
that.
But self-rated. You're saying this is people's own assessment of their
which can be just as blind as anything.
Absolutely.
You really do need that do-gooder to walk into your house and go, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
There's waste everywhere here. First of all, turn off all the damn lights. What are you doing? There's a lot of stuff like that. Where
absolutely.
You go, oh, the lights? What's the matter with my lights?
Well, there's a power plant generating that electricity right now, burning things to do that.
It goes deeper than you want to know. So anyway, try not to throw your ciggy butts out the window. Start there. How about
That'd be great. Start with that. Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't litter.
By the way.
Yes, dear.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of ciggy butts, the last time I had one was when I was playing a role in a movie.
Yes.
It's called This Is Only the Place in America. Charlie...
I think it's now called the Day. Charlie Walker story or something.
Oh, Charlie Walker lives. Whatever it's called, I was in it. I'm getting residual payments now. Are you?
Oh, snap.
No.
They're to the tune of a dollar or two, but still.
Oh,
I was like, what? This thing must be showing somewhere.
I'm Charlie Walker.
I'm Charlie Walker. That's it, right. That's really funny. Very interesting.
I'm interested that you're not.
Are you still in it, sir?
I'm not in it. I'm completely cut out of it. I was a voice on a radio that Pat dumped and put his own voice on. I'm like, all right.
Oh, that's rotten.
Don't need to be in there. I know. You're just a guy in the crowd now, but you're still getting money.
I was the main guy.
I'm aware. You were like the main guy. You had lines. You leaned in the car on... whatever the star's name is.
I had a scene with Charlie Walker himself.
The guy playing.
Mike Coulter.
That guy. I had a scene with him.
Is Vince still in the movie?
He is, but he's just one dude in a crowd that the guy's driving by.
That pisses me off. You know, me and Charlie, there were sparks flying.
Oh.
We were a thing. We made movie magic happen.
Yeah, somebody was given the movie to edit, and they took you right out of it. I'm not sure...
That's bad editing right there.
Yeah, it is.
You're on the cutting room floor.
But you still get a dollar. Yeah, I got a dollar for my time. And for playing with fire. Like, what kind of person who quit smoking but still dreams about it would flirt with smoking again? Well, an actor that really cares about his role.
You're a method actor. It was the 70s. Everyone's smoking.
A study looked into the most walkable cities in the United States for tourists. And I did think of our fine city. I love our city, but walkable, it's not. Right. That's where what it comes down to is it wouldn't rank high in walkable. A lot of other things it would be the best.
Oh, yeah.
Views and sights and
oh my God, it's
attractions and stuff.
Incredible.
But walkable?
Yeah.
So anyway, the number one most walkable city in America for tourists, Chicago.
I would have been New York. That's interesting.
Let me see here. Nashville was the second most walkable city for tourists.
Wow.
Followed by Dallas, Santa Fe, New Mexico, New Orleans, Portland, Boston, Boyce. No, New York not in the top.
Boyce. Wow.
Oh, Boyce.
You don't really hear about Boyce all that much.
No, and you know what? I've been there, and I don't know.
Pretty walkable? What do you think?
Walkable, sure, but there's, you know, winter.
Yeah.
There, just like Chicago, though.
Right.
In fact, someone I know who lives in Chicago just posted this weekend, it was beautiful spring day, and she was posting, like, what winter? Because now that it's gone, Chicago's beautiful.
Mm.
I think she said something like, anyone who heard me complaining about Chicago 3 weeks ago, you didn't hear that, or something like that. And I'm like... Yeah, that's how it kind of goes.
Very clever. Yeah,
now it's a beautiful day.
And you're all cheerful. I was so miserable.
Right.
I was miserable and now I'm happy.
L.A. ranked low on the walkable.
Yeah.
Also San Francisco, Honolulu, and Memphis. Honolulu, though, is pretty walkable. I mean, it's hot. But that little strip there, and I guess that's Waikiki, it's got all the shops. And
we did walk all around that area. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that.
You kind of take at least a couple hours and go do that, usually, I would think. My thing was, the trip was for the kids. We were just there. My thing was, can't we swim in the ocean? Pools are everywhere. Like, you're in Hawaii and the water's warm. Let's go. But we're in the pool. It's
we're
great.
We're in the pool.
All
fine
right.
The pool.
Let's just sit here. Fine.
Yeah, you could have went to a hotel in Fresno for that pool if you wanted to.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
right.
Fresno. I hear Fresno's really nice. Great pools there.
Yeah. It's hot.
Speaking of Fresno, I just read that.
Oh.
And
the no.
Really?
I didn't
the
expect
no.
that to come up at all. Let me see if I can find it without
the
much
no.
delay.
No.
Darn it.
No.
Oh, here it is.
All right.
Fresno looks to be the new location for the biggest Costco warehouse in the country.
Oh, cool.
What?
That's great, Fresno. Way to go.
Congratulations. You just got your number one.
Number one.
They're going to have a 32-pump gas station, a car wash.
Oh, my God.
All
so
kinds
you
of stuff.
Me there's a lot of land out there that people are just like,
it's
I'm buying 500 acres and building a giant Costco on it.
The mega Costco, it looks
a
like.
A mega Costco. That is, I feel like, how much bigger can they get?
Well, 219,000 square feet for the warehouse.
Damn. That's big.
Yeah. No, and it's then, like I said, and also a gas station. And Christina will go to Costco to get gas because it's cheaper.
Mm.
I will not do that, but she
the line
will.
Moves pretty quickly, fairly quickly.
Yeah, well, if you've got a 32-pump lineup, I think you're in good shape. That's 219,000 square feet. You're saying is how big this thing is?
Yeah,
and the warehouse.
That's
stuff,
over
yeah.
5 acres.
Yeah,
and it's like what is it? 1.5 football fields in an acre? Like, think about that. It's like it's huge. That is huge. It's too big.
And the crowd. Oh. Imagine a Sunday. Ah! Oh.
Maybe they have like 1,000 checkout spaces.
I don't know, but all right.
But
there you go.
All right.
Never mind. I didn't want
to
do
it. Are there even enough people in Fresno to like keep that thing alive? Like,
we'll find out, won't we?
People will come in there with like Costco tourism.
Like, yeah, on the way to L.A. or something maybe, right?
That is so not on the way to L.A. from here.
Where is it?
It's way out, right, just inland. Just go
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it's eastbound.
Yeah, eastbound and down.
There's a big new survey out on acceptable and unacceptable behaviors at restaurants.
Oh.
Half of America thinks it's cool to ask to be seated near an outlet so they can plug in their phone. Is that cool?
I've never asked for that. That's never even occurred to me.
What's funny is reading
cool.
that brought
know.
About this memory. I took Scott Capurro out to dinner one night when he was performing in San Jose. And I said, mm-hmm. you know what? I'm going to take you out and then I'm going to go see your show. And him and the guy opening his show come rolling in 30 minutes late. They're clearly, they think they're already on. They're doing their show right there in the restaurant as one of them is like, hello, before you seat me, I'm going to need you to plug in my phone. And the restaurant's like, oh my God. And it was just from there on and on. I'd never really heard of that, though, showing up to a restaurant with a dead phone going, I need a plug right
I'm going to need you to take care of this.
Right.
I've never heard of it either. It wouldn't cross my mind. But I can see where if your phone is dying, you might ask. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But being seated near a plug, I mean, I guess that's just a wall table. I don't really know. I think it's okay, I guess.
Well, the people are torn. Only half say it's acceptable. Taking an extended period of time to decide what to order. Less than half say that's acceptable. I don't know what the extended period of time exactly is, but, you know, you are...
Well, the restaurant wants to flip your table, especially if you're early. You know, if you're in early seating, they really would like to seat another party there at some point. And so if you're going to take an hour between courses, you're... But that's a very American thing. Like, in other places I've been, they really kind of expect you to sit at that table all night. In fact, they're not even going to come by to see how you're doing because they don't care. And later, maybe you'll get some more food. Maybe
right.
not.
Bringing outside food or drinks into a restaurant, 71% say that is unacceptable. Yeah, snapping your fingers to get the waiter's attention, 81% say that is not
only
an option.
81%. Snapping your fingers. Yeah. Get over here.
Debating menu prices with the staff.
Oh.
Have you ever tried to haggle your meal down?
Absolutely not. That's
how about I'll take the steak without the potato. Yeah, like let me what can I get off that plate to make it less expensive?
To make it cheaper.
What?
Mm. Yeah, that's not how restaurants work.
90% of people agree it is not okay to allow your children to roam freely.
Yeah, I definitely do not like that. And if your kid is a pain in the ass, get them out of there.
Beat it.
Beat it. Other people are paying good money to have a relaxing dinner.
Lastly, saying they won't pay for a dish they didn't like, even though they ate the whole thing. 90% say that is not acceptable. You do not, if you don't want it, don't eat it.
Then you send it back, right? And you say,
I finished it, but I didn't like it.
I didn't.
Please take
it
off the.
That. Right.
What?
It's like reading a book and then trying to return it to the bookstore. Yeah, I just, there was like a whole middle section that I got bored in. Here you go.
Let's see here. Have you guys heard of Bucci's? What? Bucci's?
No.
They're all over Texas and they're enormous. At least 32 gas pumps. Oh, it must be a gas station in Texas. Well,
Bucci's.
You know, they've got a lot of.
They got room for big things there.
Well, and also a lot of oil and gas probably right there in the state.
Tejas. And growing too, just like everybody. It's just, I want a bunch of land in Texas. Woo!
408. Yeah, Vin, I rarely go to swimming pools and never in Hawaii. Yeah, I don't mind a swimming pool. I really don't. I just thought with my kids, I'm like, the water, the ocean is warm. You don't need to, you could be in, and they're like, what? Never mind. Let's just say where we're at. You're happy?
We're looking at this Buc-ee's. It's Bucci's.
Bucci's. Oh, yeah. E-E-S.
I have B-U-C-C-E-E-S, but that's
B-U-C-E-E-S.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's huge. There's so many gas pumps.
Yeah, it's like basically, it is like a Costco of fast food.
It's like a Costco Walmart.
Yeah, it's.
Oh.
Oh, my. There's a big kitchen back there and everything. Holy cow. Oh, they're doing ribs. Oh, yes. What? Those look delicious. Okay.
You're going to get gas station ribs, Sarah?
Yeah, I try to ignore that there's a gas station out front, Vinny. I'm down with food.
All right. My bad. What's coming up in the trash?
Convenient. I feel like it's time to play a game.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Let's go.
Wake up every morning with Sarah and Vinny.
What in the hell?
Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.